Look at TV broadcasting. How do they produce their stuff? Look at their model. How do they get sponsorships and stuff? And it's like just taking right. what the real world is doing and putting it into here, into the digital world.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Phil Better. And Phil started podcasting 6 years ago, and he had the goal to be this podcast mogul. He currently runs 6 podcasts as a host or a co-host, and he's an executive producer for a dozen other podcasts for entrepreneurs, business owners, and influencers. So I've known Phil for a little while now, and I'm really excited to have this conversation with him. I've been a guest on his show, and I am reciprocating and bringing him on my show because we hit it off so good, and I really enjoy having conversations with Phil just in general. So Phil, absolutely stoked to have you on the show, my man. Well,
thank you so much, Mike, for having me on the show. It is a pleasure. And when we were talking on my show and before, I just love our conversations. Even like with the 5-10 minutes that we talked before show, I just got geeked out about podcasting with you. So thank you for having me on your show and letting the audience hear my geeking out about my love of podcasting.
Yeah, it's all good, man. And I love what you're doing with your podcast and just as a business in general. So you've been able to take podcasts and turn them into a business. And I'm really excited to talk about that today. So before we get into that, I would like to ask you the same question I ask everybody that comes on the show when they first, the first question. And that is, I kind of touched a little bit about your background and who you are, but if you could maybe go a little bit deeper for us, tell the audience, who is Phil Better? How did this start for you? What made you want to become the podcast mogul?
All right. So Phil Better is a persona that I had to create. So my real name is Phil Lemire. 6 years ago, I was working for a financial institution that will remain unnamed. And there was a situation that happened. I got in trouble with some tweets, not major trouble, nothing like, oh my God, you're going to get fired. It's just like, hey, the language is inappropriate. You're representing the institution. You need to delete this one, this one, and this one. I'm like, all right, no problem. Boom, boom, boom. From that point on, I knew I couldn't use my actual name on because then it would be associated and I would have to play by their rules. But if I create this persona, this Phil Better, playing on words like feeling better, because I've had my whole life, it'd say, hey, Phil, fill it up, please. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take control of this and I'm going to use it to the max because I know people are going to say, hey, you make me feel better. I'm like, I know. And so already people are going to be associating positivity with me. So that's why I created that's how kind of the name popped up. And my last name is like, it translates to the best, or Muir means better. The Muir is like the better. I like better. I just like the name better. So it also makes me push myself to be better. Anyways, that's a whole bunch of long-winded things. So that's how I came up with the name. And the persona was just, I always love creative people, but I never had the time to be creative. So when podcasts were coming out, I started listening diligently like 8 years ago, I think, or even 10 years ago, I started listening diligently to podcasting, like different realms. Joe Ferreira, Bad at Business podcast, The Daily Planet, the Weekly Planet, sorry, for my pop culture news. And then occasionally Joe Rogan. I'm not a huge Joe Rogan fan, but he does have interesting guests on. So it's like, it's nice to sometimes get that, like, you need to be in both all these different circles, right? Always knowledge is power. So the more you learn from different people, whether you agree with them or not, it's interesting. But so I was listening to those types of podcasts, the Birdcast as well, and some of that. And I'm like, I can do this. Like, I can do this. Like, it's not that hard. Microphone and you just talk. Like, that's what a podcast is. So I just jumped into it. My first show was, like you said, the Phil Better Show, which was just pure for movies. Like, I just was removing movies, TV news, pop culture, trying to be like everything. And I call it my biggest success and also my biggest failure, because it was my first time ever, one, trying to be a creative, but also trying something being business. And my focus was completely wrong. And there were so many mistakes, but also so much learning was done. So it wasn't a complete failure because I learned so much looking back. At the time, it was like, oh, this is the huge, biggest failure of my life. Oh my God. I was depressed. It brought me into a dark alley. Bring it to 2019. Horrible. Like 2019 was my best and worst year. So like my podcast, the best and worst. I was able to knock off 3 trips in 1 year that I've never traveled. Like traveling out of North America never really happened for me. Like I'm based in Montreal. I've been numerous places in the US. I still haven't hit the West Coast yet, but it's like in my dreams. But I went to Cuba, Ireland, and England in 1 year, and it was like fantastic. I was like, oh my God, this is the best. And then also I ended a 7-year relation that was in a toxic place for both of us. We were in horrible places. That's a personal life. Ended 2019, pretty much on the brink of a burnout. 2020, I started my burnout, took 2 months off, was like, I'm going to try and get healed. Weekly therapy sessions that helped me clear my mind, started thinking positive. And then I was like, I can't go back to doing drone work at a 9-to-5. I was 10 years in this business at this bank, different institutions, different companies. I was like, no, this is not it. I want to be creative, but I can't draw. I can't. Acting is okay. But like drawing, music, all that thing. I have a great voice like all the time when I was younger. So I was like, okay, podcasting is good, but it's not, there's no way to make money on it. Like I couldn't see unless you had like diligently thousands of followers, and it's like certain categories takes years to build up. And I'm like, I don't know. So I started watching like a whole bunch of YouTube channels on how to get rich because the pandemic like just exploded with these content. So I started following it diligently, trying to figure it out. Then I started seeing repeated patterns. And because I've always loved learning, and I like sciences, like going into the depths of science is like, oh, that's a lot of work. I like the surface knowledge of science because it's like, okay, if something interests me, I'll dive into it. So that's how I go in, and I deep dive as far as I go. And then I'm like, I'm not interested in this anymore because it's not interesting anymore for me. And then I move on to the next thing and then the next thing. And I try and do deep dive. So I started watching how all these people made money. I'm like, this is fairly simple how they made money and how I can incorporate it. And podcasting was still in the back and going down. I'm like, okay, but I tried some things. I'm like, I'm not good at this. I don't understand. It's not working. And obviously the first things you try, you always fail at because you have no idea. You're not going to be perfect, but school messed you up and said, you have to be perfect the first time you did it because you only get to do a test once. So you get all this anxiety. So every time you try and do something right the first time and you fail, you're like, I'm never going to do it again because it's not worth it. I failed at life. So tried a whole bunch of things, failed. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm really good at talking with people and interviewing. And I've made this massive connection from joining different groups and talking with people, asking questions. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to ask entrepreneurs how they made money online. So I created my second show, Invest in Yourself, the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast, where my goal was just to interview people who have made money online. I don't care if you're from a small little creator that only has like 1,000 fans on YouTube to one of the biggest guys I've ever interviewed, a guy who owns a sports team. If you're watching the video, it's up over my like left shoulder, right shoulder. I had a chance to interview him, and he sponsored my podcast, my first ever time dealing with a sponsor. It was great. It was like, oh my God. So like that was like an amazing event for me. Like I've had this ability to talk with people from all over, making millions of dollars to not making that much money. But it's been so interesting because it's been fun because I get to ask them how they are an entrepreneur. I never knew how to be an entrepreneur. I'm learning so much about who I am as a person and how to make money. And like getting to chat with you, Mike, and just talk podcasting. Like we jumped on what was supposed to be a 15-minute call like a week ago, where we just talked about our upcoming collab that we're doing. And like it devolved into like just discussion of like how to grow a podcast, different types of monetization, different business ideas, different like, I'm like, oh, I'm showing you how I'm working on this project. And you're like, oh my God, that's like really great. And like, I'm like, oh my God, these are the top, like, this is the connections I love because I've done this podcast. Like that's a benefit of podcasting because I get to talk to you and I learn how you're dealing with sponsorship. So you're dealing with sponsorships on your podcast. You have this great intake form. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. And so I'm learning that. And when I get someone who comes over to me, I'm like, look, I didn't come up with this. This guy, my buddy Mike did. He has his podcast. He came up with this. This is how he's dealing with this. This is how he found out his worth. You can do the same. And then they're like, oh my God, my clients are like, oh my God, that's amazing. Oh my, I didn't know my podcast was worth that. I'm like, you don't have to charge this. Like you can charge whatever you want. Like the key point here is that podcast is yours. It's your business. You set the price. Unless you're a copy of every other podcast and there's nothing unique about your podcast, then yes. But if you have something unique, like I talk with digital entrepreneurs, period. Like, I love all digital entrepreneurs. Boom. There's many entrepreneur podcasts and podcasts directed to entrepreneurs, but not directed straight to my person is looking to get into digital entrepreneurship. They're not sure if they're ready for entrepreneurship. They heard about how money is made online. So I'm going to talk with all different types of creators, how different types of people who make money and run businesses. Like, I have agency owners. I have freelancers on my podcast. I had YouTube streamers. I had everything on my podcast because they're all in the digital entrepreneurship. I'm like, look, I want to showcase how you can make money on. And that's it. That's all. If you have a course, if you have like a book or anything that's teaching things, you are free to promote it on my show, because I want my ideal listener, because this is how I learned. My ideal listener is someone in his mid-30s wanting to make money online, was sold the BS of if you work for a company, they're going to be loyal to you and they're going to take care of you, which is bullshit, and we all know it. So I made this podcast because I wanted to learn how to make money online. I'm like, the best way to do it is to find people who've made money online. But also, I'm like, this is going to be a great resource for people who are in the same situation I was. Here you go. This is how you make money, you know, and learn that it's a long-term game. Because the guy, Dom Einhorn, an amazing, brilliant dude, he's been 25 years in this. And it took him 25 years to be able to buy his first sports team. Like, and they're doing amazing. They're completely undefeated currently in the season. So they're doing great. But yeah, that's the story of Phil Better.
That's awesome. I'm sitting here like, so I was taking notes as you're going, right? And I want to rewind back to closer to the beginning when you were talking about when you started your first show. You said it was your best success, but also your worst failure, right?
Yeah.
And you said how you had mentioned that like doing anything for the first time usually winds up in failure. But I think the key thing is what you do with that failure. Do you learn from it? Do you fail forward or do you fall backwards? If you're going to fail forward, learn from the experience and take that knowledge that you've gained to make it better the next time you do it. And I think that's something that you did. Your podcast, your first one, like you said, you're all over the place. And I think I get the whole success part is because you started something that you were passionate about and you really enjoyed doing it and you learned a lot from it. And by learning from it, it became one of your best successes. The failure part was probably, and I'm just going to make an assumption here, was probably because you were all over the place. So it was hard to really niche down. And that's just kind of what I'm picking up from that. And then you started that next podcast, the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast, where you really niched it down to where you had a specific target audience. And that was something that you learned from that first show that you did. And I just wanted to point that out because I think that's huge that you took something that you felt was a failure to you and you turned it around to make yourself better, to make yourself feel better. You know what I'm saying?
But
play on words there.
All the way around.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, no, you're 100%. So you're right and a bit wrong on the failure, but like the failure reason is correct. I had this weird dream that the Feel Better Show would make me like super uber like famous. I put that expectation.
You were going to be the next Joe Rogan from that.
I was like, yeah, it's like, I'm going to be the next Joe Rogan. Like, I'm better than Joe Rogan. I'm funnier than Joe Rogan. People love who I am. And then I got that. You get slapped right quick in the face. Let me tell you, Joe Rogan had a lot going for him before Spotify paid him $100 million. But like going back when I started, I was just before Serial dropped. So the true crime drama blow up and before every white woman in the world was like, I'm going to watch true crime documentaries because I want to know how to kill people. And it's very scary. As a man right now, and knowing that ladies can watch and learn and listen to how serial killers and how crimes are still unsolved scares the shit out of me. And makes me want to be a better man, just simply because I don't want to disappear. But no, so that's when I was starting. So like Serial happened, and I'm like, great, I'm in the wrong niche. No one's going to listen to this type of podcast. But I still went at it. I still struggled, and thinking that I would be the next Joe Rogan, not understanding how to promote, not learning about the podcast world, and all this smart things that I should have been doing. I was thinking selfish instead of value giving. So then when I decided the entrepreneur, it was starting and like the first couple of people who I talked with, like they literally started planting the seed. Like one of them was how to promote. I was blessed. So Ralph Sutton is the co-founder of Gas Digital, an amazing podcast network at the time of recording, which was over a year ago. It was 2020. Yeah, 2020, December 2020. I talked with Ralph and he told me how he got his first sponsor, how he used to promote his radio show and how he's like, he's huge. Like he gets over like, I think I said 3 million or 5 million downloads and for his network, which is huge. But his show, he's been on like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. He's been on like hundreds of radio stations. He got his radio show syndicated within the first week by literally jumping in his car and driving from New Jersey all the way to Miami, stopping at all the alternative rock stations and giving them tapes of his show and badgering them, and just went up and down. And by the time he returned back to New Jersey, he was syndicated in like I think he said 20 to 30 markets. Yeah, like it was insane. And then he told me how he got his first sponsor, which was he was working a DJ at a strip club, and he had a strong New Jersey presence. And then it was like, okay, it's local. Okay, that's, he's niching down geographically. That's the first thing that ever popped into my head about geographics. So I do deal with that with some of my clients in the podcast I produce. And he went to his boss and he's like, hey, I want you to sponsor. He's like, okay, how much is it? And he's like, this amount. And then it was like a small business sponsoring another small business. Like they're working together. I'm buying ad time. And like, okay. And he got like $100. So he got like 4 months or something like that. And I'm like, that's freaking genius. So like literally with Dom, when he was on the podcast, he hired me first to teach his team how to do podcasting. And I'm like, how about this? In exchange for that, you sponsor my podcast instead. Okay. He's like, are you still going to teach? I'm like, yeah, I need the experience. I need to start teaching people. So I need the experience. So he's like, yeah, okay, we'll sponsor. How much? And I told him the price. He's like, yeah, sure, fine, no problem. Boom, 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 dang. He even was gracious enough to send some, like, as you can see over my right and my left, there's like merchandise. I got a whole bunch of stuff. But for his team, Sarlat Rugby in France, which is an amazing, you can actually stream their shows live on sarlatrugby.tv. I've done my little plug. But that's like my sponsorship package is like, you sponsor my podcast, I'm going to talk about you and I'm going to pump you all the time because like someone's sponsoring me. I'm currently in the talks with someone else to sponsor one of my other shows so that I can have like another sponsor on that. I do affiliate marketing. So I learned about affiliate marketing. Like the digital entrepreneur was like how I first monetized. And it was like, okay, that's how you monetize. That's how you get a, because I talked with Ralph. Then I was able to talk with Donnie Bovin, the genius at network marketing. That's what I've done with my podcast. Like in essence, it's podcasting groups online, but digital. So he hosts like the success champion network. So you go into it and you have a whole bunch of similar business people. So it's like a mastermind, but it's all digital and you chat. Instead of the old fashioned networks, really been interesting. I've been in it a few months and it was great for me, but it was like way more advanced than I was. And I was like, I'm not ready for this. I need something else because I'm still like figuring out what my business is. Like what is, I do consulting for podcasting, that's for sure. But there's something else I want to do. There's something else that I don't want to deal with people too much. I want to like deal with people on my terms, like not have to go after clients and get leads and like that. I want to do something else. So I'm still figuring stuff out and understanding where I am and what my business is going to be. For now, it's my living is podcasting. That's my business. And I get paid to teach people podcasting, paid to podcast. And yeah. So luckily I had another friend of mine who was like, I'm turning down my podcast. I'm not sure if I want to do it. And I'm like, look, come on my show. I'll do all the heavy lifting. You just have to be the co-host, the sidekick, the stick man, whatever you want to be. So boom. And we've been going straight there. Al comes back every once in a while. He's always available. We do guesting sometimes, have guests on sometimes, but it's mainly me and my buddy Aaron talking about films. So I never really interviewed people. Like I tried to, and I was like, oh my God, I suck. So I'm not going to do it. And then I'm like, I need to ask these people how to. So I'm like, I'm going to make it like Joe Rogan or like Tim Ferriss. I just ask questions that I want to know about. Like, this is the point. So I just ask questions I want to know about because I know Colin, who's my ideal listener, but I named Colin after a millennial. But yeah, Colin's a millennial and I have my ideal listeners. So I think I'm like, will Colin like this question? Yes. Boom. Will Colin like this question? No, not going in. Colin likes it. Yes. Colin won't like it. Let's bring value to Colin's world talking about this subject. Yes, no, maybe. But also at the same time, like if I'm talking with someone who's like, oh, I do automation. And I'm like, I'm stuck on automation. I have a question about automation. So I ask in this way, like, have you ever had this trouble where you did da, 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 da? What would you suggest? And yeah. It's like kind of like I'm getting the answer to my problem, but for free.
That's one of the selfish benefits of doing a podcast is you get to ask the questions that you want to ask and get the answers to. I do the same thing with my guests all the time. And it's funny because I think as you're talking about your friend Colin here or your ideal listener, right? You're identifying what your listener, you build this profile on them, right? And you figure out what it is that they're looking for, what adds value to them. And that's what you focus on for your niche, right? And by doing so, the folks that are regulars that are listening to your show will always keep coming back because they know that the content you put out will add value to them. Then they talk to their friends who have similar interests and values and say, hey, Phil talks about this on his show. Come check it out. And that's one of the ways to really like grassroots grow your show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important to know like what your listener profile is, like who's the folks that are listening to your show. And even with my show, like it's niche down, but it's not. Like I talk about pretty much anything in the finances realm, from investing in the stock market to real estate to
but you are
niche. Recently had crypto, so many different pieces of it. Like there's a lot of other shows that will talk specifically multifamily real estate. I talk about that too, not on every episode.
Stop. Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay. You're exactly like me. I'm like every other entrepreneur podcast, but I'm focused on digital entrepreneur because I know my ideal listener wants to learn how to do digital. There's not other digital entrepreneur podcasts out there. You already know who your ideal listener is. It's an average Joe. It's an everyday schmuck who didn't learn about finances in school. Because we didn't. Like, to be honest, I didn't learn about how to balance a checkbook or checking and savings and investing in the future and da-da-da-da, all that. Because my parents, unfortunately, didn't learn it either because of the previous generation. That's how generational wealth is built. It's the money knowledge is passed from generation to generation. So at a certain point, like, I'm breaking the wheel because I want my future kids or like, won't I have kids? Who knows? Most entrepreneurs, like their why changes when they have a kid. Like they're like, I have to double down. Whereas like for me, I have my nephew. I'm like, I'm going to pass that knowledge to my nephew. I'm going to teach my nephew. I'm making my legacy is making enough content that if my nephew needs to learn how to do X, Y, Z, I have done it and I've proven that I've done it and made money so he can copy. Like, here's the blueprint, kid. Your life is set now. Or if I can make enough money that his life is set that I can start teaching him properly. Like, look, here's how you make money. Like teaching him like, this is why money is cost this, that, like really ingraining in those important lessons into him so that the next generation, my next generation of family and that my next gene, like my blood, my genes, my essence as a man continues down the route. Like it's the family name is continuing and just growing and growing into bigger and bigger things. Like, and they're not like living paycheck to paycheck like I had to, or my father or my mother and stuff like that. But it's, you are going after the average Joe, like everyday finance. I'm like, you're teaching them like, look, here you can make money crypto style. And here's a guy that made it. Here's proof of concept. Here's another proof of concept. Here's multiple proof of concepts for multi-dwelling living investing and how to do it. And here's our three different methods of doing it. Three family members that did it differently. So you're just like me. You're going, look, this is for the average Joe. This is average people who have made their wealth using finances. And that's how you do it. That's your niche, the average Joe. Yeah. And you become the dominant person. There's no one else out there talking about average Joe finance. You already know the niche because you're not dealing with people who have money or have access to money or know how to get that network of money. These are people that started from scratch with $100 in their pocket, maybe sometimes with less, and have made it to the point where they're financially secure in their life and they're growing at that point then.
Yeah.
Whereas your ideal listener is someone in that situation, the same situation as your guests.
You have to know why they're listening to your show. What is their why? I have my why, but what is their why for your ideal listener? Now, because I'm talking to another podcaster who's actually building his podcast up as a business, which I'm doing the same thing, but you've been able to essentially make podcasting like your full-time gig, which is super dope, super awesome. I love it because I love podcasting. I love talking to people. I love interviewing people. It's just so enjoyable and just learning. I find that every time I have a guest on the show, I learn something new. There hasn't been a time that I've had somebody on that I didn't learn something. And every time I have a conversation,
because I taught you anything yet?
No. Every time I have a conversation with you, I learn something new, man. And I want to talk about some of that stuff because we've had some great conversations in the past. And I want to provide some of that value that you've given me already to my audience here. And we've talked about so many different things. So I want to talk about particularly how you've been able to monetize your podcast. Because I know we've done similar things, but you have this down to a science, man. And you say that, but every time you and I have a conversation, I tell you about something I'm thinking about and you're like, oh, I did something similar and I did it this way. And you just like map it out for me. I'm like, that is wicked.
Okay. So like I said, like I'm not creative in the sense of I can draw an image like Picasso. Like I'm not that creative for that way. It's not worth me. My brain just works wonderfully because I love learning from different things. Like I said, I'll go down the science route for like a month. I'll be just watching Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'll be reading about him. I'll be reading Stephen Hawking, all this stuff. Cause it's like, just like, oh my God, this is infinitely wonderful. I even went down like the, it's fascinating to me. And then it's like, okay, boom, that's boring. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, onto, like I said, I jump onto another thing. And because I worked in the business world so much and I saw so many different styles of business and I like money, like who, cause I know what money does. Money brings, it doesn't buy, people say money doesn't buy you happiness. It buys you time. And you know what time gives you? Time gives you happiness. Because the less time you're worried about spending on money, it's the more time you can spend on your happiness and what makes you happiness and finding what makes you happy. So money does buy happiness because it buys your time, right? You can either sell your time for money or you can invest your money to buy time.
To start your own business with what you're doing as a podcaster. And we're seeing this right now, like really started pretty big when the pandemic started, but between 2021 and now, really it started in 2020. You see this thing, they're calling it the Great Resignation, right?
Yeah.
And you have so many people that are leaving their 9-to-5 jobs to work from home. And they're finding jobs that they could either work from home or they're starting their own business. And a lot of people are finding great success because there's a lot of opportunity to do this and work from home as long as you do it the right way. Mm-hmm. And you being one of them, right? You did that yourself. You walked away and you started this business with the podcast. I'm leaving my 9-to-5 job this year. I am getting a pension though from it because I did 20 years in the military, but I'm walking away from that and I want to focus solely on my business after that. And I don't want to go back to a typical regular job. I want to stick with real estate investing because I enjoy it. I want to do something that brings me joy and adds to my bank account as well to build that generational wealth for my family. Yeah. And that's like where I want to go. Like, as I'm talking to you about what you've done with your podcast as a business throughout time, like you've been podcasting what now for 6 years, you said?
Six years about, yeah.
Yeah. So now you found something that brings you joy, right? It's something that you enjoy doing. You get to touch into your creative side. So can you share with us a little bit about when did that switch in your head flip and you decided, you know what, I don't want to live this rat race life anymore, working myself to death in this 9-to-5. I'm going to go do my own thing and do something that brings me joy. What was it that flipped that switch for you that got you to really get this started?
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors.
What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about Buzzsprout. The Average Joe Finances podcast recently switched over to Buzzsprout, and I gotta say, I am super happy with the progress. Our podcast is now on every single major platform and reaching audiences that we couldn't reach before, which is just super awesome. So thank you to Buzzsprout for being such a great platform, but also I want to say, hey guys, if you sign up for Buzzsprout and you sign up for one of their paid plans using our link, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card. So go check them out. It's averagejoefinances.com/buzzsprout, and we'll make sure the link is in the show notes below. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products.
Go check them out at editpods.com. Let's get back to today's episode.
So I've always wanted to be my own boss. For years, I talked with my brother, oh, we're going to start a business. We're going to start a business. We're going to have private jets, da, 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 da. So I've always wanted to have my own business or be my own boss because I knew I was never happy working for someone else. Like, why would you want to work for someone else? Like that's always been like, why? Like that, it makes no sense. But at the same time, I never knew anybody that could teach me. And I'm looking back, I'm really stupid because I knew a lot of people. I just didn't realize it because they were doing, like, I connected with this amazing entrepreneur, and he never called himself an entrepreneur because he made multiple businesses online, consulting and all that, when he was like just a bit younger than I am now. And he runs a webcomic, a freaking webcomic. He runs multiple webcomics, but he uses his webcomic first as the start of the business. And then he did an advertising and now he's in animation and he's working with Robert Munsch, an amazing Canadian author. Like, if you don't know who Robert Munsch is, look him up. It's the best books you will ever read as a child. He's a national treasure. I saw everything. I saw how backside of a business worked. And then I went into the corporate world because that's what I thought I needed to do. And like the dream of starting my own business, it died. And then I saw podcasting. I saw like, wow, some people can get a huge following. And then like YouTube started blowing up and I saw people making serious bank and doing this full time. I'm a YouTuber. I'm like, hey, what do you mean by you're a YouTuber, bro? Like, oh, YouTube literally pays me. I'm like, wait, what? YouTube pays you? And then I start learning that. I'm like, okay. All right. And then after my burnout, I went back to working at the financial institution, the bank, and I was not happy where I was. I was in the world of fraud. Like, let me tell you, the world of fraud just sucks because you're always dealing with negativity and that. It's understandable why everybody's so freaking angry in the job and trying to stay positive. It wasn't good. And I was working on being better. And then I switched positions. And in 2021, switched positions from being in a fraud position. So I was client, what we call client in the business, because I was in a call center, client facing, because I was just dealing with the clients anyways. And I look back and it's stupidity, but it's not their fault. It's because the government and the education system failed these people, failed to teach them. Like, it's life lessons, but at the same time, like, you should know that when you have a credit card, this is what happens. But because the educational system didn't have credit cards at the time when the educational system was made, they can't put it in because no one understood it.
Well, no, it's, I totally get it, man, because I recently had a conversation about this, about why the education system is set up the way it is. And it's created, our education system is built to create more workers. Mm-hmm. And it was built that way because of the world wars, right? When a lot of US influence went out everywhere, up to our northern brethren up there in Canada, over to Europe as well. And a lot of that stuff was from the war, and because it was about building a better employee to produce more as we were building these machines for war. And in doing so, that became the basis behind our education system. It's never changed. If you want to learn business, you got to pay for it and go to college.
Even then, in the educational system, it's not necessarily hands-on. It's all theoretical. And my father used to tell me, like, I would get a guy with an MBA and it would take us 6 months to reprogram them, because people who can't do teach. And I always live by, like, I've always done that. It's like when I have a podcast client come in and I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? I want to grow my podcast. I'm like, okay, cool. What are you currently doing? And they tell me what they're doing. I'm like, okay, it's obviously not working because you're putting like 8 hours in and you're only getting one or two follows, and that's pointless. How about we try this? Let's try the Gary V method, which is $1.80. It's guaranteed to work. Like, I can send you videos on it. Like, this is telling the client. What you do is you choose a platform and then you choose 10 hashtags. Go to 10, those 10 hashtags, follow the first 9 follower accounts. Make sure they're somewhat valuable. Look at their pictures, choose 9 of them. Leave value-based comments. Like and leave value-based comments. Don't be like, hey, follow me at this. Click. No, screw that. Don't do the follow. Go, hey, I really like this about your image, or I listened to your video and I really liked about this. Whatever it is, bring value and make that person's life. Go, hey, I really like this. Where did you learn? Like, ask a question. Generally ask a question. Where did you learn that technique? Or that's really dope. Thanks for sharing. Like whenever I go on to someone's, like, I'm pretty sure you've known, when I listen to one of your episodes, I go into the post, I like, and I go, great episode. I really liked it, because I'm leaving value, because it's like, you're giving me knowledge, or you're showing me something beautiful, and that on the art. Because it's like, we're talking about Instagram. You like the tweet, if you like the photo, you leave a valuable constructive comment. Nothing like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. That's useless. Obviously, she knows she's beautiful, or he knows he's beautiful.
Thank you. I am beautiful.
You're gorgeous. You're a gorgeous man. You have a beautiful smile. I love it. But like, add something like, oh my God, I really like how the angle really accentuates like something unique about it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a tweet, like, oh, I never really thought about it. That's thanks for providing that. Like, be authentic and genuine with them. If you don't resonate with the thing, don't leave a comment. It's as simple as that. Like, you don't resonate with it, jump to a next one. Jump to the next one. There's billions of people out there. Find the one that resonates with you. Follow them. Like their stuff. Interact with them. And you will see that slowly and surely, some of them will come over and interact with yours. Some of their fans will come over and interact with you. And you're going to grow.
Yeah, that's huge. Authenticity. Authenticity, yeah. Right? It's not just leaving a comment, just leave a comment, like actually go in and actually engage. I think that's very important. And I've seen a couple of the Gary Vee videos talking about that method as well. And I probably should get better at doing that. I'm not the best with going in and finding like my specific, I do have specific hashtags that I follow, but like going in and leaving those comments and constructive criticism.
It's an hour
not a criticism,
day.
But construct like something that
constructive that comments, like something like this is what I also suggest. Do it an hour a day. Like set aside 1 hour specifically for today. Is I like Instagram because I like looking at pretty things and it's quick content. Like TikTok is TikTok's the, because I will lose it myself in TikTok for like
I get those videos all the time that says, hey, you've been scrolling for a while. Why don't you take a break? I'm like, ah, it's you again. I'll just swipe past you and keep going.
Right. So I'm like, and also Instagram reels are bad too. But yeah, so they don't give you
a warning.
No, that 12 hours later, you're like, when did it become Thursday? I was only there for 1 minute. What happened? But like, that's the thing. Like, I like Instagram because I like looking at pretty things pretty much. Like that's what Instagram is, pretty things. It's the billboards. So you have to understand how I look at the world. I have the physical world and then I have the internet world. We were sold, because we're millennials, that the internet is the super, the highway, the information highway. So I look at like, I'm on a highway, I'm driving. Whenever I'm on the net, I'm driving. So the Instagram is billboards. I see all the pretty, and they're selling me stuff. Amazon is a mall. It's Walmart, pretty much. It's the digital version of Walmart. Facebook is the mall, because you have Facebook pages, which are storefronts, because they're all selling you something. They want you to become part of their community. Right. Either they're going to sell you physical products, or they're going to sell you memberships, or they're going to sell you their friendship. But you're going to meet people in the mall, right? Just like at your mall, you go, oh, hey, messengers like me and you having a face-to-face, because we can literally just FaceTime us if we want, like we're doing right now. Or and then you have the Facebook group, which is the mall actually going into the store inside the mall. So that's what Facebook is to me. It's a mall. Twitter is just a random person yelling on the street, or people, you run into people on the street talking about stuff.
Yeah.
But then while I'm driving, I need to listen to something. What am I going to listen to? Podcast. Podcast is the radio of the digital world, but it's on demand. I can choose whatever station I want. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to the Apple station, and then I'm going to go through all the Apple podcasts, or I'm going to listen to the Spotify station and listen to all the Spotify stations. That's how I look at it. Or Amazon or Google Podcasts. Those are our radio. That's how I look at the role. That's how. So I'm like, if I'm running a podcast, I'm rating in the real world, it's equivalent to running a radio station. So how do you run a radio station? Learn about that, learn that structure, and then you can take it to your podcast and boom, you are now, because I look at podcasters, you have a media empire. Because if you have a podcast, you have a radio show. So you're a producer on a radio show, you have a station because you're producing. So you have a radio station that you can, and your feed is the episodes, and it can be 24 hours. It can be whatever you want. Like, and if you're a network, then you have multiple stations inside your network. And then YouTube for me is the new TV. So when I get home or while I'm driving, because I can drive without worry on the super highway, because I can do multiple things, but YouTube is my TV. So I can watch TV. YouTube is ABC. And then I have is Videotron or your network, or your AT&T or whoever, because they're providing you billions of channels, which is like we have now. If you go to AT&T or Warner Brothers or whoever, YouTube is one of those. They're providing a service to you. And then you have your YouTube channel is a channel like ABC and it's a broadcaster. So look at TV broadcasting. How do they produce their stuff? Look at their model. How do they get sponsorships and stuff? And it's like just taking right. what the real world is doing and putting it into here, into the digital world. And because I love making money, I look and online, it's super stupid easy to make money. There's like 3 billion or 4 billion people online already. So you went from the real world where you have a market cap of only like 1 million people because it's only in your location, right? Max is 1 million, depending on where you are. You can have more or less, but I'm going to just use generically, you have about like at least 100,000 people for your store or product in your geographical location. You can't reach and making money, you're competing against a lot of people. Whereas online, you have access to 3 to 4 billion people. So it's already been proven. All you need is 1,000 people paying you $10 a month and you're set.
No, it's cool because like, I like how you're tying this. I think we're going to start talking about your Stock Dirty to Me podcast. You said something that I want to touch on. Okay. You said something about over time, you have to invest over time. Otherwise, you can't build anything. It's not going to happen like right away. And I think one of a very popular saying you hear all the time is time in the market is more important than timing the market, right?
Yeah.
You can't sit here and try to time the market, but the amount of time that you're in the market, the better return you're going to get, or at least you're going to start compounding a lot more because over that time, your money just continues to grow and grow and grow. When you look at the stock market, you look at the charts and you look at, well, I just started investing yesterday and then the stock market dropped when I lost blah, blah, blah. Okay. You didn't lose nothing. You didn't lose any money. You lost value for now, right?
Yeah.
Give it a couple of weeks, watch it go back up. It's going to, because you see like these big drops and then you see it just builds right back up, right back up. But yeah. Just go ahead and jump in on that.
All right. Yeah. So the amount of knowledge that I have in the stock market pre starting this podcast and show was buy low, sell high. But at the same time, I'm like, that's probably not the wisest information. That's not how Warren Buffett made his money. And I'm really pissed at my dad. Just before Marvel became big, right? Like it was bought out by Disney, all this, dropped movies. I went to my dad. I'm like, you should buy some Marvel. He's like, why? I'm like, there's potential movies being made and it's worth your while. He's like, and it was a cheap thing. And he's like, okay. So he put some money. And then the first Iron Man came out and it bounced up and he sold right away. I'm like, what did you do? Maybe like 3 years later, Disney announces they're buying it. And I'm like, look, you could have had Disney stock. Look at where it is. Why did you die? He's like, this and that. I'm like, okay, whatever. So in my head, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not very good at stocks, which was not true. So I started my podcasting and through networking, I started talking with a buddy named Tony. I can't pronounce his last names. I'm horrible at last names. Unless it's like a simple Smith. Like if your name is Smith, I'll remember it for the rest of my day and I'll be able to pronounce it. But I can't pronounce last names to save my life. Even my own last name, I mess up all the time. So I met my boy, Tony. He has his own podcast called the Stock Bro Podcast, where him and his brother talk about the stock market, investing. He has a degree in economics. He's super smart. And he works for an aerospace company. Like my level of genius compared to his is like, but at the same time, when it comes to podcasting, I'm Albert Einstein and he's like, I like me. So I'm helping him out. So we started talking. He's like, you know what? I'm an admin to this group that nearly has 50,000 members. Like at the time, I think we're like 30,000. And I'm like, he's like, let me bring you in. Maybe you can help us with a stock show or something like that. I'm like, sure, I'll do what I can. So he brings me in. I meet Dalt. I meet Johnny, who we refer to as our CEO of the group. He's rarely there, but he shows up every once in a while, like a CEO. But he started the group and grew it. And he brought us on, each one of us on as admins to help out in different points. So I'm there. I'm like, yo, we have so much knowledge here. Like I'm in the group chat and they're dropping bombs. And I'm like, oh my God. So Dalt, a licensed advisor in Canada, he runs his own management corp for finances and that. So stocks, bonds, I don't know what he does. He's just really good with money. And then Johnny is a self-made investor and he's done really well and teaches investing and stuff. And Tony is self, like me in 5 years, like where I want to be in 5 years with my investment, because he's doing great. He has his own course on the ABCs of investing because of his economics. He teaches all that. And so I talked to them. I'm like, you know what? We can do a weekly show where we talk about investing and get the group's opinion. So they're like, yeah, let's test the water. So I test the water on some of the group posts, like, yes, we would love it. Boom, boom, boom. So I put in the motion. I'm like, okay, I'll take care of this. And I start creating the show. And we do our first live. It goes relatively okay. We get like 3 or 4 people watching. We're like, oh my God, that's amazing. We do it again. And we do it again. And then we slowly build up. We slowly get better. I create an intro for us. I create assets. We're building up. I'm doing this thing. We're growing. The show's evolving because we don't want to stay the same. We don't want to always be the same show because it's like the groups that we were doing one thing. We saw our things go up and then it just started declining doing the same thing. And we changed it and we started going up. So we're always trying to find what is our group want because they're evolving as well. They're not anymore beginners. It could be intermediate. So we have to touch on the intermediate stuff as well as get the beginners in as well and just like make this thing. And we got a nice core group. We got a good dozen or so. And I know you've been on the show a few times with posting and we're going to get you on to talk about your investing as well, about a different side of investing and the knowledge you have. But like my knowledge in the stock market has gone up. And like, I know like it's, you invest in what, like if you don't know what stock to invest, thanks to fractional shares, you can invest in whatever stock you want, like Google and Facebook and Apple, which is super smart to invest in because they make money. They're making money. They made money for the last 20 years. They're smart money to invest in. MasterCard, Visa, those are smart investment as well. But if you're not sure what company to buy, buy an ETF. And an ETF is just a whole bunch of stocks in one company and you just give them money to buy more stock. That's what it, and it's like, they will pay you. And don't go for these like, oh, I want this amazing thing that has all this. No, screw that. Go into the ETFs that are the money-making ones, the ones that have been around for at least minimum 5 years. My minimum criteria to invest in any company, and I don't invest in any company except for the bank that I worked for because I got shares from them, is they have to be around for a minimum of 5 years. If you can make it 5 years, I'm happy to invest my dollars into you. So that's what I generally do. And that's what I preach. I'm like, I don't give a damn about an IPO unless it's my own IPO. I don't care. Like they're like, this IPO is launching. Congratulations, go lose money. Because I've never seen an IPO stay at the same level it launches.
I think that's really neat that you grouped up with these guys. You partnered up with them to start a podcast, the Stock Dirty to Me podcast, to talk about the stock market and bring up these different topics for others to learn from and just add value. Now, you started this as a live event, right? Like you would go live in the Facebook group. And what's really cool about that is you were able to get like live Q&A from the audience that was listening and be able to really focus the show and shift it in a direction that brings value to them. And in doing so, while you're doing this, you're getting to talk about different things and ask questions and learn more. And you were able to learn how to better invest your money just from talking with other people that do it quite well. So I think that's a key thing. That's a key takeaway here is that you don't have to always be the expert on something, but surround yourself with the people that are. And you even said it too, like I forget his name, but you said the one guy that's 5 years, like basically where you want to be in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Tony, right? Yeah. So that's great. Like you can say, hey, that's my goal. That's where I want to be 5 years from now. And then when you get there and he's even further at that point, you can keep saying, that's where I want to be 5 years from now. And it's just cool. It's one of the things that I like to talk about as well is put yourself in a room, surround yourself with the people that are doing better than you. And it's always going to give you something to strive for and to keep you motivated and keep pushing forward on that. Now, we're running short on time because you and I could just chat it up all freaking day, but I do have another interview this afternoon.
Yeah, so
I'll knock out some of these questions that I ask everybody. And so the first question I want to ask you on this part is what's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
Not having, I'll deal it with podcasts and for podcasting, not having an ideal listener when I first launched.
Okay. That's fair. And we touched on that a little earlier and that is super important to find that ideal listener. Okay, cool. Awesome. Now, what tips or tricks would you recommend to somebody who's just getting started now? Like, let's say they want to start a podcast and they want to use it to grow their business, right? And monetize it in the future. What would you recommend to somebody?
So if you want to start your podcast regarding your business, first of all, niche down until it hurts. Niche down until it hurts and then niche down once more. So if you're a marketer and you just do general marketing, niche down to a specific goal. I'm going to deal with marketing for real estate agents in Detroit who are in their first year of business. Be that niche down. Like you were saying, like be the smartest, don't be the smartest person in the room. Always surround yourself with smarter people. But in business, you want to be the biggest fish in the smallest pond. Because if you're the biggest fish in the smallest pond, when you move to the next pond, you're going to be still big. And you just slowly keep moving and growing into each bigger pond. So you'll be the number one podcast for real estate agents regarding digital marketing in Detroit. If you're that, you can call yourself that, because there's probably no one else specifically going after real estate agents in Detroit. And so you're the best and the worst. And I learned that from John Lee Dumas, his book of Common Path to Uncommon Success. He was like, there was no one doing a daily entrepreneur podcast until he launched. He was both the worst and the best at the same time, because there was no one else. So he made his niche. He created his niche. And that's the most important thing. You create your niche, you become the leader in that niche, and everybody else is going to come after you. Other people are going to see you doing a podcast for real estate agents in Detroit. So someone else is going to be like, I can do that. I know more knowledge, but they don't have enough time because they don't have, they're running to catch up with you. They're not Usain Bolt, right? They don't know that you built your network to get those followers. You created that for all those people. You
built that audience and that following. Yeah.
So once you get super small, then you can go, okay, from Detroit, because your city, you can go, okay, I'm going to be Michigan now, or the tri-state, or whatever you want. And then now you're that. Now I'm in the Midwest. And now by the time you go to the Midwest, the number one real estate, you will be the number one in America for real estate agents for digital marketing, teaching them, or just straight up digital marketing, or straight up whatever you want. Cause you can evolve as you keep growing and you're growing your niche. You can grow into the, like, you are now the number one digital marketing podcast for blank, for whatever you want, or whatever you need to be. So niche down. Don't try and get everybody, because you're not, I can go on for hours, but niche down to the smallest small niche, because once you niche down to that small thing, you know exactly who your ideal listener is, and it's easier to go after them than find them and get them to listen to your podcast.
Absolutely. Love that. Love that. And it's also how you build that listener profile. You build that ideal listener because you've niched down and you figured out who your audience is. And your audience knows you. It's a lot more intimate that way. And you get to build, it's almost like building a personal relationship with your audience member. And then as you're growing, and like you said, moving into these bigger ponds, they're coming with you. They're following you into that pond. So that pond is already starting to get pretty full. And then you just keep taking your audience and moving it to a wider spread.
So how a niche works with an ideal listener is, like, your ideal listener, his likes you or her likes you, like their likes, dislikes, you know, what they're looking for in life and all that fun stuff. You also know all their interests, right? But their interests can hit a lot of things. So someone else who likes, I'm a 35-year-old, I'm a person, so I resonate with this ideal listener. Well, do I resonate with all these other things? Yeah, I do, not this, but that, boom, 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 whatever. It could be also other digital entrepreneurs are listening to my podcast because they're like, I need a marketer and this person sounds perfect because I resonate with this person. They're not my ideal listener, but they're in one of my circles of influence that my ideal listener is in. That's what it is. That allows you to become a bigger fish in a bigger pond, because
you're never going to be perfect for everybody. Never going to be the perfect.
You want to be perfect for one person. That's the only perfect person you want to be perfect. That's your ideal listener profile. And I was listening to, jumping on. Okay. Print out, actually name your person, print out a picture of that person, know that person intimate. Your ideal listener created. What's really funny is Russell Brunson, I believe, did this for his ideal customer, and he did a group and he asked certain questions and every single person was there. And one person actually looked like the person he printed. So that's how powerful it is. And these people were paying like close to a large, like 50K to meet him. So like they're shelling out big bucks. But ask your next question and then to keep it rolling.
All right. Awesome, man. Okay. Do you have a favorite business related book or podcast?
So I'll give you two. I just found Dan Kennedy. And if you don't know who Dan Kennedy is, this amazing direct sales marketer. So those really annoying brochures you would get in the mail, what we call spam, but it was like junk mail. He created that, and he just, marketing is a genius. So Magnetic Marketing by Dan Kennedy. It's being launched by Russell Brunson, part of the No BS network of stuff that Russell Brunson just bought Dan Kennedy's complete archive and his business pretty much. But this podcast is amazing. It's teaching me so much about marketing. And if you're a podcaster, you need to know how to market. So by listening to marketing podcasts, you can start going, oh, I can try and use this, or I can try and do this. And it's a free thing. A book I would read if you're an entrepreneur or a podcaster, even if you're an entrepreneur, but specifically more if you're a podcaster, because this is the guy who made it by podcasting, John Lee Dumas's book, The Uncommon Path to Uncommon Success. Amazing book, highly suggested. And Russell Brunson / Dan Kennedy's Magnetic Marketing. And then Stock Dirty to Me for learning how to finance and
invest. Right on. I love the shameless plug.
All day, every day.
Well, speaking of shameless plugs, that's actually the last question I have for you. And this is like the most important one of all. Yeah. So, Phil, we've been talking about a variety of things because you and I could just go on and on and on. This usually happens. So for my listeners right now that are interested in doing something similar, that want to build a podcast and turn it into a business, or just starting somewhere from the ground up the same way that you did, where would they be able to find more information about you? Do you have a website and your different social media profiles that you could share with us today?
Yeah, I'll make things super easy. So on my Instagram, it's at Podcaster Phil Better. Very simple. PHILBETTER, podcaster, POD, caster, CASTER. So Podcaster Phil Better. Right now I'm doing, at the time of recording, I'm doing 75 hard, but I usually try and put out posts about different tips on making podcasts. And if you want to book a free, so I give away, I charge $100 an hour for my time for podcasting. I should charge more, but about $100, I'm happy at that. But I give away, I purchase 15-minute blocks for people. And all you have to do is visit my website, Phil Better Inc. And I will buy 15 minutes of my time and you can talk with me about your podcast. You will walk away with an actionable action plan. You say, Phil, this is what I want to do. I will tell you exactly what you need to do. And specific to you, I will show you where you can find someone who's done the exact same thing. This is what I do for people because I want you to succeed. I don't believe in the starving artist concept. Money is being made on the internet and you can make it too. If you want to follow me for free, go to at Podcaster Phil Better on Instagram. If you want to have 15 minutes bought for you, complimentary 15 minutes, come to my website, philbetterinc.com. And I will be more than happy to give you so much value that you'll be like, oh my God, he's so smart. I never thought it was possible to meet someone so smart.
Thank you for saying that about me. I appreciate that. But I do like the way you put that, though. I just want to point that out, that you will purchase 15 minutes of your time for somebody. Because I do that as well. I have free 15-minute intro consultations for my financial coaching or podcast coaching. But the way that you said that, the way that you worded that was brilliant, that you will buy 15 minutes of your time for them, which is super dope. I love that. I just had to point that out.
So I will tell you, I learned that from Dan Kennedy's podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because yeah. He was talking with someone and he goes, yeah, he was talking about the value ladder or the sales funnel, which is an important thing that podcasters need to know about and business owners should know about, is if you give something for free to someone, they may not like, oh yeah, you can get a free 15 minutes with me. Okay, whatever. They don't see the value. I'm like, I charge $100 for my time. People pay me $100 an hour to teach them about podcasting. So right there, you're showing like, look, I charge for my time. So like that 100, like that 15 minute means there's value to it. It's, I don't like $15. I don't know what, like whatever the conversion is, but I'll buy that time for you to teach you so that you can see that paying me $100 is going to be worth it. Cause if I can give you something in 15 minutes, that's going to either grow your podcast or monetize your podcast. Imagine what I can do with an hour of your time.
Yeah.
If you paid me $100 to buy an hour of my time, like, come on.
Just imagine. Hey man. So Phil, this has been awesome, dude. Always a pleasure talking with you and just always chatting it up. So we've got some pretty cool things going on. By the time this episode airs, we would have already started one of these projects that Phil and I are collaborating on.
I can't wait to start it.
Yeah, we are doing a podcast mastermind, right? Putting together a group of motivated podcasters, including some people who are just starting that haven't even started their show yet. And we're going to teach them what we've done to grow and monetize our own shows. But at the same time, we're going to be able to learn from them as well, because everybody that's part of this mastermind gets to participate and bring value. We're all going to bring value to each other. And I'm really excited. I'm looking to grow with you, Phil, together and grow with everybody else that joins us on this mastermind journey. The first group's going to be very small and intimate because we want to make sure we really nail this down. And after we knock this out, we might expand it a little more. We'll see how it goes. But I'm really excited to do this and I'm excited for us to all just collaborate together and everybody get together and grow their shows. So
it's going to be amazing, brother.
It's going to be awesome. But Phil, again, man, this has been a pleasure, dude. As always, really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. And until next time, we'll knock it out.
I can't wait for it, brother. Thank you so much. And everybody, just remember, the number one thing you have to do is go over to Spotify, find the podcast, Average Joe Finance, Building Your Wealth, leave a 5-star review. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah, because you can do that now on Spotify. You can leave reviews now. So right on. Appreciate that, Phil. And go check out his shows as well. He's got 6 of them, but we were talking mostly about the Phil Better Show and Stock Dirty to Me and also the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast. Go check those out. I was a guest on the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast. He has a podcaster version of that. And that's the one that I was a guest on. It was a blast. And just like this, having this conversation was a blast. And aloha from Hawaii. We're out of here. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.